Gamer Heroes. This is one of your hosts, Zach, here with Derek.
Yo.
And John.
Hey.
We are here today actually together in the same spot, broadcasting not remotely. So we're all actually hanging out, having a good old time. We're going to start off with some news. Star Trek Online, which John, I don't know if you've played it or not, but that's a game
that
Derek and I have spent some time in. I mean, I used
way
to.
Way too much time.
I spent a lot of time in it, but a long time ago.
I know it's free on the PlayStation Network, and it's downloaded. I just haven't actually launched it on my
own. Like the console version, actually.
Really?
So, for those who missed it, back in September, I actually had an interview with the guy who led the project to bring it to consoles. It was really a fun conversation, but they redid the entire UI for that game just to bring it to Xbox and PS4.
You have to, yeah.
Oh, yeah. I mean, there's no way you could handle the... Because the HUD is pretty complex.
It is.
But yeah, it's an older MMO now that's went free-to-play a few years back, but I spent a fortune on, so...
You spent the most anyone has spent on that game.
I can't imagine that's true, but I can't imagine I'm too low on that list either.
Right, right.
So...
You're on the special list.
Give me an idea. When did this come out?
2008?
Yeah. Wow, that's a really
2008,
long
2009?
Time.
Yeah.
2009.
It's a long
time. Right at the beginning, very beginning. I think beta started in 2008.
Right, because it came out before the Star Trek 2009.
It did, yeah.
So, yeah.
And it was not free at the time, so I bought a lifetime subscription, which was $250 at the time, and I bought... At least two, if not three different versions of the game because of all the retail exclusives.
Right.
Wow. I know I bought like the base game, the collector's edition. I think I also bought the digital deluxe, if I remember. Because like one got you the NX-01 Enterprise, it had the grapple. One got you the liberated Borg as a playable character. And then the other got you the actual original series Enterprise. And I think I got all three of those.
Dang.
Yeah.
So I spent, I mean... So, you know, right there, that's like, you know, like $400. So, you know, but I did the math and basically, like, if I played for at least like 2.5 years, then I would break even. And they didn't go free to play for like 4 years. So, I mean, it ended up.
You did break
fine.
Even.
Yeah, it was fine.
At some point.
It was a lot of problems. I mean, I built my PC to spec for that game.
I remember that. I remember you talking about that. Yeah. Oof.
So what's going on with it now?
They do have events like most MMOs. If you play MMOs, it's not going to be unfamiliar to you. And if you are a fan of Star Trek, you are, of course, familiar with First Contact Day, which is April 5th. Yeah, I wanted to say 6th for a second there, but it's April 5th.
Oh, that's next week, guys.
It is my grandma's birthday. So
yeah, that's right. Yeah, that's right.
She's a Vulcan.
Yeah. That makes sense. First Contact is of course a big deal in the Trek fans' life because it is the pivotal moment in our future history at this point where Vulcans recognize us for our spacefaring light speed capabilities and come down and say, "Hey, what's up?" And of course that
just like that too.
Just like that. I mean, they got their hands up in the air with doing the Vulcan salute, but it's like, "Hey, what's up?" Like, you guys maybe don't suck anymore, so we're going to guide you. Which, of course, leads in Enterprise and all kinds of other things that we could talk about to lead
on
time.
On a different show.
If this were a different podcast.
Different show.
But the point is, the First Contact event is following the... it's kind of a... you're staging a reenactment in Bozeman, Montana. And there's some free stuff and some stuff that you earn, like, you know, for different days that you show up and do completely different objectives. You're reenacting the whole event that led to that first flight, that led to First Contact.
Did I see that they have a statue of Zefram Cochran somewhere in the game now?
Yeah.
From, like, the one that they talk about in First Contact?
Right. I'd heard about that, yeah. I haven't played in years, so I never actually saw it, but I remember reading and thinking, I should sign on and go check that out, and then I never did.
I mean, I did go to Vulcan to see Spock's statue that they dedicated to Nimoy.
Right.
That was pretty cool.
Yeah, so. There was some touching stuff on that. But yeah, you get like a miniature Phoenix model that can be launched when not in combat, so kind of like a pet that follows you around. There's a hollow emitter that makes your shuttles look like the Phoenix while it's in and out of combat. Different random prizes that give you starship traits from different boxes. So there's all kinds of different fun stuff. So if you're into Star Trek Online, if you're into Star Trek, if you're into MMOs, it might be worth checking out.
It is free to play.
It's free to play. So. And I mean, I always celebrate First Contact Day by watching First Contact.
It's a good way to do it.
Yeah.
You could go really in depth, and you could also watch the TNG episode named First Contact.
That's true.
Which is nowhere near as good as the movie.
Right. But not at all.
It's way too much for me to have to catch up
Sorry.
On.
Right.
Yeah, John, there's only 726 episodes, I think.
Right? I mean, I've done pretty well with the original series, sure. So not too bad, but I don't think that's in there.
No, this is next generation stuff, right. Yeah.
Right.
Well, so I would've known that.
We'll get you there. We'll get you there.
We will convert you. So, Derek, you had some news you wanted to discuss with us?
Yeah, so my stuff is going to be mostly Nintendo news. Surprise, surprise.
Shock.
Just get it out of the way, because this is disappointing. So I was really looking forward to Yooka-Laylee, which is one of the indie games announced for the Switch. And it is launching on April 11th for PC, PS4, and Xbox One.
Ooh.
The Switch,
there's something missing on that list.
The Switch version has no date. And is a ways off, according to an interview with one of the developers for the title. So that leads me to believe that they have no idea when that's coming out. So it might, I assume it's still 2017 at this point, but, that was just kind of disappointing. It was a game I was looking forward to downloading on the Switch, and it felt like a very Nintendo game.
Didn't they, in some of the marketing material, have that? I swear there was something...
It was in the Nindies presentation,
right.
That they did the day after,
and that's really misleading. Yeah. For them to do that.
Yeah. Well,
it's going to happen.
It's
going to
happen. Yeah.
It's just I felt like that was you were pushing as in like this is one of the things to be excited for.
Yeah, that's definitely what they did, and I was disappointed to find out that it's going to be available basically on four platforms because for PC it's going to be available on Steam and GOG.
Right.
And so like. That means Macs can run it and Linux computers can run it. So, like, basically everything but a Nintendo platform is getting this game on April 11th. And that's just a little frustrating since it's a game that's very, reminiscent of Crash Bandicoot and Banjo-Kazooie and stuff that I think fits the Switch's style really well. And certainly the Switch can handle from a graphic perspective, whereas, the PS4 and the Xbox One are bringing you, Mass Effect Andromeda and
right.
Horizon Zero Dawn, so,
it's a step down for them.
Yeah. The other thing was I did get a chance to play a little bit of Splatoon 2's Global Test Fire event.
In the dumbest times possible,
seriously.
Yeah. Did you play at the 3:20 a.m. to 4:15 a.m. time slot? Or were you in the...
Friday night, that was.
Friday night. Or the 6:30 a.m.
No, I played at night on Saturday.
Okay.
And I was ready to go and realized I was actually an hour off because I got the time conversion wrong.
Oh.
And so I had to wait around and I ended up...
Was that the midnight one?
No. Oh. I think it was from 10 to 11 Central.
Gotcha.
And I thought it was 9 to 10. And got on there and it's like, sorry, it's not available now. And so I did play for a little bit. Now, I'm going to preface this with saying I've never played the first game. I have a Wii U, but I never got around to playing Splatoon.
Right. Same, yeah.
So if anything I have to say is also the same way in the first game, I apologize. But
please let us know.
It's still an issue in my opinion.
Write us a message, tell us that Derek sucks.
contact at heroespodcast.com. So it's a very colorful game. And I really like the style. The maps are really cool. They kind of remind me a bit of like Tony Hawk, pro skater back
really?
In the day. Like the way the maps are set up is kind of reminiscent.
Is that a compliment or insult?
No, it's a compliment. You guys, Tony Hawk Pro Skater?
Yeah, no, I love
it.
It
was good.
Or like, I'm drawing a blank on the title. It was a launch game that came with the original Xbox with the GT2000 racing game, Radio Jet Set Future.
I have not played that one.
Oh, okay.
Does
so
not ring a bell.
You play a guy who's on roller skates and you're a spray painter, a graffiti artist, and you tag stuff. It was a great game. I actually really liked it a lot. This is very reminiscent.
Was
of
it
that.
Like creatures and stuff in there too?
No.
Okay.
No,
okay.
It was all human based, and it was just that you were a graffiti artist, and you would roller skate, rollerblade around town, and tag things, right? And you got points depending on what you tagged and stuff like that. I feel like this is like a spiritual successor of that in a way because it's paintball, but I liked a lot of it. I liked the design. I liked the style. I liked the weapons. It was fun. The motion controls are awful.
Oh, is it heavy motion control based?
Heavy motion control based.
See, I was going to ask about that.
I love Nintendo, but obviously from the Zelda shrine there's a Zelda shrine where you have to use motion controls, and the rest of the game you don't have to. I will say, it does annoy me in Zelda when I'm trying to aim something with my bow and arrow, and if I move my hands holding the controller,
right,
it totally fucks
throws up
my
it off.
I think you can turn that off in the settings.
Okay, I'm sure you can.
I did that.
Okay. Like immediately.
Okay.
Motion controls.
This is
off.
Stupid.
This is a Zach failure brought to you by Gamer Heroes.
Well, no, between the Wii U and the Switch, I've had a lot of Nintendo's motion control stuff, and
but they've never seemed to figure it out. It's still a shit. Like, stop making motion control unless you can make it good.
It's look, there are some situations where it works.
It's how it's utilized.
For Madden 2009, it was awesome. On the Wii, I loved it. I really loved it. You could use the Wii remote to draw routes, like at the line of scrimmage, and depending on how you flicked your wrist, would be like, you know, a zip pass versus a loft. Like it was great. But in this game, this is, you know, it's a third person shooter, and it's a multiplayer game, right?
Yeah.
So,
is there a single player campaign?
I don't know. The original one was all online.
Yeah.
So I assume the sequel is similar. Again, it wasn't something I was super into, but
yeah,
it's still a big title. I was surprised they were doing a sequel so soon. But so imagine, you know, you've got your controller that's got the two joysticks, you know, that Halo's been able and Call of Duty's been able to take advantage of for well over a decade.
Right.
So, but in order to look around and stuff like that, you have to use your motion
controls.
Oh, man.
And there's even I think it was the Y button resets your camera. If the Y button, that prominent of a button, is bound automatically to reset your camera, that's a bad sign, in my opinion.
What?
Yeah.
Let me ask you this. So, is there a way to turn that off?
I don't know. Since it was the global test fire, you don't have a lot of time, so I wasn't screwing around with the settings or anything like that. You basically just jump in and play.
Yeah, you don't know if they're going to implement since we're going to change that later.
I mean, as somebody who was just thrown into this game with no tutorial at all, I know there's different weapons, and I know that they are good at different things, but I don't know much about them. So I was very out of my element. And having the motion controls made it... having the motion controls made it that much more difficult.
Was this Bomberman hard?
No, that's a joke.
No,
because actually we did fine. We won some of the matches, and I was not in last place in any of the matches.
Cool.
It was more of just... Class. Yes, thank you. I'll be here all week. It was more of just... It was a very foreign environment with a very foreign game style with a clunky, complex controller scheme. Because if you had at least copied controller schemes from other third-person or first-person shooters, I would at least know what the buttons do.
Right.
Right? And I could do that, and then I can figure out the lore and mechanics of the game itself.
That's disappointing.
On the run. But, yeah. So, I mean, look, I'll probably give it another shot. It is one of the bigger titles coming out this year for Switch.
Will you buy it, you think?
We'll see.
Yeah.
We'll see.
What, is it slated for $49.99?
No, right? I imagine it's going to be a $60 title.
Really?
Yeah, this is, I mean, Splatoon 2, or Splatoon, the first Splatoon,
first one, yeah.
That and Mario Kart 8 are the two most successful titles in the Wii U. They never dropped really in price, aside from a few sales here and there. So, I expect Splatoon 2, just like Mario Kart 8 Deluxe, to be $59.99 USD titles.
Right.
So.
Cool.
Yeah.
What else we got?
Right on.
So, yeah, so I guess as far as news goes, the only other thing that I wanted to point out was that Blizzard made their unsurprising announcement that they are remastering StarCraft, the original, in 4K.
Mm-hmm.
The cool stuff about it is actually the little things that kind of get glossed over. First off, the original version of the game, once the 4K remastered comes out, the original version will be free. You can go pick
that
up.
Yeah.
Nice. I own the original version. Cool.
Well, good news for you, Zach, is that you'll be able to play with people who have the remastered version seamlessly.
That's nice.
They didn't change any mechanics. They didn't change
very
any
cool.
of the gameplay. They basically made it widescreen and updated the graphics.
Nice. Okay.
That's
so
pretty cool.
Is there, because a lot of games are doing this now, like Halo, is there a button that allows you to switch to the old graphics if you're feeling nostalgic?
Oh, man, I forgot that the Halo collection lets you do that.
Yeah.
I don't know.
Someone else did that, too, and I can't remember who it was now, but it's a thing now that people are doing, which is nice.
I like that.
Why would you
fun.
Want to do that?
It's
I feel
fun.
Like we've come so far, and
we
I
have.
Enjoy
and you,
being able to see
you
things.
You appreciate how far you've come when you can hold them side by side,
yes.
second by second, you'd be like, oh, my God, I used to think this was good, and now it's shit.
Think about the original Halo, how revolutionary that game
yeah.
was when it came
yeah.
out.
Changed
if you...
Everything.
play the new for the remastered version, and you are at, like, you know, some really nice shot where you can see the Halo ring above you, and you switch to the old graphics, like, it's stark. And it's really interesting to see what they were able to do without changing the game, because it still feels like the original Halo. It's just beautiful. So,
and if you never switch to the old graphics, you could play the game on the new graphics and go, okay, this looks good, but this is probably not much better than what it used to look like, right? Like, it was super, it was ahead of it was ahead of the curve when it came out.
At the time, we were like, man, this is the best.
Right. So, yeah.
Yeah, I think that's a really good point. I think Star Trek actually might have done it first with the original series Blu-rays.
Yes.
You can hit a button and see the original special effects instead of the remastered special effects.
But unfortunately, most Blu-ray players don't come with that button
anymore.
So you have to fuck with the menu to get back and forth, and at that point, it's just a hassle.
I was lucky that it was a deal I think they made with Sony or something at the time. I happened to have one of those, so was nice, but... My one now doesn't do it. So.
No, well, you're using the Xbox or the PlayStation.
Actually, no, I do use the Xbox now. I forgot.
Yeah. I don't think that's... I mean, you can try.
The Xbox is a great Blu-ray player.
That's all it's good for,
right? It's a good entertainment system. I love me some Netflix and HBO and Hulu.
Haven't been able to use Netflix on my Xbox for months.
Why?
It won't work. I've reinstalled the app a bunch of times. Basically, at this point, support has told me to reformat the Xbox. I'm not doing that.
It's not worth it.
I'm not going to reinstall all that. Like, for Netflix, forget it.
Just do it on your PlayStation. Or whatever you have.
Yeah, we brought...
Smart TV.
We have one of those Kindle Fire TVs.
Yeah.
It was in the bedroom, so we brought it in the living room.
So something I want to... Just to get us kind of back on topic here. I think that speaks a lot to Blizzard. I don't play StarCraft personally, but the fact that they were thinking of the old fans and was like, well... We're going to let them play. This is not going to be a problem for them. This isn't going to affect them.
Right.
I thought that was a very... that just goes to show you kind of Blizzard's central focus as they used to be with World of Warcraft. I want to make money. I don't give a shit about you guys. But they've come to the point where they know they expect those type of questions, because that was the first question you said.
Yeah.
Was, what the fuck do I do kind of thing? And they're like, we already thought of this.
I mean, I've been playing Blizzard games for a few years, and I've always got the sense that they really want it to be a fun, inclusive experience.
Right. They put a lot of love into their products. There's a premium price tag on a lot of it, but you're going to get your money's worth.
Yeah, but most companies...
And they support their stuff long after.
If they're switching, they're switching. They're like, you have to switch.
Oh, right, yeah.
These guys, they're not making you do that.
Right, yeah, which is very cool.
Yeah, I mean, with PC games, there's a little more leeway, you know, because the servers are handled differently.
Sure.
But, no, it's really cool that they're doing that. I think that's pretty neat. I actually never played the original StarCraft. I only played StarCraft 2. So this will be a good excuse for me to go back and play the original story, which I've only kind of read about.
Yeah.
So that'll be fun for me. But all right, well, I think that's enough on the news as we go well past, you know, the 15-minute mark.
Always.
Let's jump into what we are doing here, which is part two of our Gamer Heroes March Madness video game showdown. Sweet 16.
Oh, the crowd goes nuts.
For those who missed part one... Part one was last week. You can go to heroespodcasts.com, subscribe on iTunes, and you can check that out.
But I'm going to give a shit.
If you care. If you don't, I'm going to recap it right now. All right, so I'm going to go over what happened last week. We started with the left half of our bracket, and we had Mario going up against Rayman. Mario won that particular round. Link from Zelda beat out D.Va from Overwatch, which was a real surprise to me, especially being the person who was defending D.Va. That was, like, really crazy. Zach pulled that one out really well. Based heavily on the Breath of the Wild, but still very, very nice.
I don't do much, but when I do, it counts.
Master Chief,
his goatee.
Halo's Master Chief beat out Metroid Samus, which was a pretty tough fight. That was a tough one. And Half-Life's Gordon Freeman beat out Star Fox's Star Fox, which ended up not being anywhere near as cool of a fight as I thought it was going to be.
Star Fox should have done a barrel roll.
Do a barrel roll.
It's not gonna work.
So that was Gordon Freeman off.
That was the left side of our bracket, and today we're gonna go over the right side of our bracket. We can get through about four matches in an episode. So next week will be our quarterfinals, and we'll go through all of that stuff. So today we've got Crash Bandicoot versus Sonic the Hedgehog. Spyro the Dragon versus Sonya Blade. Phoenix of Gears of War versus Lara Croft of Tomb Raider. Nova from StarCraft versus a generic Big Daddy from BioShock.
Well, let's clarify that.
Okay, all right.
So, as you guys know, it was kind of utter chaos last week, so we want to kind of reel
cats
that
and dogs living together.
Yes, yeah. Cat, dog, sorry. But I love that show. Well, they made the two species, not even going to go into it, but this time around I'm going to throw a little wrench into it. If you can dodge a wrench, you can dodge a ball. And basically, we're going to pick one game with the abilities to be tied down to that one game. So, we, you know, Link is not going to get all of his abilities from every single game and be a wolf and have a magnet. So, we're going to be picking one game, we're going to announce that game, and then we're going to get into the debate, deboggle, whatever you want to call it.
Okay.
Cool.
Did you say deboggle? Like
something like that.
You're right here first. John's making up words. Update your dictionaries accordingly.
Urban Dictionary, though.
So that's who we're going to go through today, and the winners will move on. We already know that next week Mario will be against Link, and Master Chief will be against Gordon Freeman.
Right.
So that will be that's a little preview of our quarterfinals. So, all right. Well, let's start things off with Crash Bandicoot versus Sonic. It looks like Zach is going to defend Crash Bandicoot, and John, you've got the Hedgehog. Let's start it off, guys.
All right. So, I'm going to go ahead and say I think Sonic, and we're going to announce the game. I'm going to go with just Sonic Dash, which is a more recent game. I feel like his dashing abilities were much, much higher, so I think he would take this match just for the sheer fact that Spyro wouldn't even be able to touch Sonic because he moves Sonic speed.
Wait, so Spyro?
Crash.
Okay, sorry, Crash.
Yeah, I was like, wait, like, sorry. I was preparing to defend my mind, and then you threw Spyro
there
at me.
There's the wrench, man.
Oh, man, there's the wrench.
Sorry, Crash wouldn't even be able to touch
him. Right, okay. You think so?
I think so.
That's interesting. Okay. So I'm going to defend Crash, and I guess if I have to declare a game, I'm going to go with Crash Bandicoot 3. Simply because of, as we were talking earlier, the Wumpa Fruit Bazooka. I don't know if that would come in handy, but I mean, he does have some extra abilities in that game. I mean, he's basically the same guy in those first three games.
Yeah.
But the third game, he's just got a few extra little toys. So here's my thing. Especially if we're going with all of their abilities at their disposal. Crash Bandicoot has his infamous Aku Aku mask that basically, if you get one, like, he'll basically take a hit for you as long as you're not, like, falling down a pit. If you get two, it's like a double thing. But if you get three Aku Aku masks, you're basically invincible. Like, he spins around your face while you're running, and you're basically, for a limited period of time, you're kind of unstoppable.
So in this case, if you start with one mask, let's say you start the fight with one mask.
Right.
Are you saying the other two are like hidden around the battle arena somewhere?
They're in the map, yeah.
And you gotta find them?
They're in the map, yeah.
So that's predicated on Crash being able to get to the other two masks.
Right.
I just want to throw that out there, make sure.
Right. So I mean, okay. if you've got a
So if you got a character with super speed, just saying, and could see those like the Flash,
right. But we have to decide what's going to happen to Spyro even when he hits Crash with just one mask, because that one like, right. like
wait,
that,
you said Spyro again.
God damn it,
Sonic.
John. This is the worst. Okay, what's going to happen to Sonic? Not Sonic Spyro. We should have done that match. No, not really. That would have been terrible.
I mean, that was the original plan, but
We had to switch it up.
We had to mix. So, for those who did watch last week or listen last week and they saw our bracket, which we posted in last week's article, the bracket, the right side of the bracket changed.
It was false news.
Alternative facts.
Look, we support science here, and you know, we have to adapt to new data and new information, and we decided based on our experiences and our wheelhouses that we were going to swap out Bayonetta, which is a character from a franchise none of us have ever actually played, and swap her out for Sonya from Mortal Kombat, which is a character we're more familiar with. And because of that, who we were going to defend got a little mixed up, and we had to shuffle some things. So it's a little different.
So, but my point is, let's just say I only get the one mask in the fight. There's only one mask that Crash has equipped. Sonic rushes into me, the Aku Aku is going to take that hit, and then what's going to happen to Sonic? Sonic's going to, I mean, he's going to be stunned.
He's going
to
bounce off of it, because he's a ball at that point.
Okay.
So,
but, like, he's not going to be stunned? Like, there's...
Most of the time, so... Let me give you... Sonic is based on rings. So eventually... So you can hit him as many times as you want as long as he has a ring.
Right, so he's going to lose some rings, though.
He loses some rings. But if I have 100 rings...
How many rings do you start with?
You don't start with any. You collect them throughout the levels of the game.
I know in the game...
We didn't establish that,
we're talking about the fight.
So I'm going to assume he's got 50.
Okay. So how many of those 50 is he going to lose?
So it depends. So
you're talking about Sonic Dash. And Sonic Dash... On average, how many rings does he lose when he gets hit?
There's not a specific number, and I'll tell you why. Because if he gets poked by a specific blade or something like that, it's going to be anywhere from 20 to 10 rings. So the main important part is how many you collect while you're flashing and you don't have rings.
So I'm going to say you can't have more than 20, and here's why. Zach gets one mass that gives him one free hit. I think it's only fair that you get one free hit.
Deal. Okay, I'll take 20 rings.
Okay.
So basically, we're going to cancel out we're going to cancel out each other's free hit really early on. So I'm going to lose my mask, but you're going to lose all your rings. So this whole fight from this point on is predicated on you getting more rings before I do a spin move, or I double jump on your head, or I pull out my Wumpa Wumpa fruit, or Wumpa fruit bazooka.
If you can shoot, if you can hit Sonic,
yes.
Yeah, you forget that Sonic also has combat ability.
Okay.
So he's got the inside game locked in, too. Okay. So we're talking like, he can hit you in multiple areas, hit Crash in multiple areas.
Right.
Before Crash would even be able to turn and point that bazooka at him.
Okay, so leave the bazooka out of it. Like, that spin move is pretty quick.
Sonic can spin too.
Yes.
So we have two tornadoes happening here. Okay? Yeah. Spinners.
So I guess the question here is, what's going to set them apart from each other? They both have spinning abilities. They both get one free shot. Sonic has super speed. What does Crash have that gives him an edge?
Charm and good looks.
Does he have, I never got to really play Crash Bandicoot games, so I'm really excited for the new one the remaster to come out for the PS4. What does he have? Weapons? Does he have any ranged abilities?
Not necessarily. Really.
I mean, he's got close combat. He can spin.
He's running away from a boulder.
He runs away and towards things.
Those are your two options.
True. Well, I'm just saying, he doesn't really find anything. He just spins and breaks crates and stuff.
Yeah, that's true.
Does have to jump on top of enemies.
That is true. I mean, I guess my thing was that bazooka, hoping I could get a couple shots out before...
So wait, he has a bazooka?
Yeah.
In the game, he pointed out the third one he does.
Yeah, he has a bazooka that shoots Wumpa Fruits.
So, I mean, what kind of damage do those do?
Just standard damage. Like, you've got a lot of ammo in there. They're not like, it's not like a heavy artillery explosive device. It's just, you've got a bunch you can throw
out
there. Yeah.
What is the rapid fire rate? Is it, shoots one, wait a couple seconds, then shoots the next one?
Yeah, I didn't do my research. That's a good question. I haven't played Crash 3 since, it's been a decade at least.
So the reason I say that is if he misses,
right,
Sonic, he's vulnerable now. He's aiming, he's holding a bazooka, his ribcage is exposed. Sonic can easily
there was rapid fire, but there was limited ammo because it was limited up to 100 based on the fruit that you had picked up in that level.
Interesting.
So yeah, there was rapid fire because there were a few bosses that were hinged, on you getting enough shots off quickly. So there was rapid fire, but yeah, you are limited in your ammo. And none of these are going to do, because of rapid fire, none of them did any significant amount of damage on their own. So it's going to be, can I unleash a barrage on Sonic before? Can Crash unleash the barrage before Sonic?
Exactly. So let's paint the picture. Sonic's going across the map. These things are hitting.
We have visuals on the podcast.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. It's hitting the ground.
You guys can't see it, but John is flailing about like a madman.
Exactly. The dust is settling. Sonic's over here. You're out of your fruit, and you haven't landed one shot.
I mean, that is a possibility.
It does seem like, based on Sonic's super speed and the limited arsenal of Crash, that the odds would be better that Sonic's going to get more hits in.
I hate to admit it, but I got nothing.
But if there's anything come on, man. You're the one that found the magnet.
I know.
But sometimes, Crash does not have a magnet. I just think because Crash doesn't have a lot to go off of, he's got his bazooka, which Zach said he has kind of limited ammo for. Once that's exhausted, you know, then you're kind of stuck with one guy who can spin versus a super speedster. And
who can spin
I'm going to take...
Turn himself into a spiky ball. I'm going to
take this, the fastest hedgehog alive.
I mean, he did have vehicles. He had a motorcycle in Crash 3. He would ride on the back... I think he rode on the back of a... Or no, his sister rode on the back of a tiger.
We're not talking about
the sister. We're not talking about the sporty cat.
No, but a tiger changes things.
If he had a tiger. But, so, he's got a... Let's say he even had his motorcycle... I mean, Sonic could easily decapacitate that motorcycle, pop the wheels. I mean, he's a spinning, spiky ball at this point.
Yeah.
It's a pinball with spikes.
He did have superpowers that allowed him to run quickly. I'm remembering this now. There were different power-up abilities.
So does he lose? You're going to give up?
I'm thinking here.
All right, so let's do this. Let's come back to this one later. All right, let's move on and we'll think about it and we'll come back and we'll give our gut opinion a little bit later on. Okay.
Okay.
So next up, I want to mix things up a little bit here. So next up is going to be, if I remember correctly, which I don't, I think it's going to be Phoenix versus Lara Croft is next.
On our
list. I am defending Phoenix of the Gears of War games.
Which one?
And John, you're doing Lara Croft?
Yeah, right? I do Lara Croft.
So I'm actually just going to go off of straight up the original Gears of War.
Okay.
Picking the first game when he's, you know, young and fresh out of jail.
Pretty much.
As you are.
Part of that is because, I haven't had an opportunity to play Gears of War 4 yet, and so I don't know a whole lot about that one. But it's also because, I think that he's his youngest at that point. You're introduced to all the weapons and that kind of thing. Which Lara Croft are you going to use?
I'm going with Tomb Raider 3, originally found on PlayStation. Basically, she's in her prime. This is the time in the game where she has fought multiple enemies in this point in the franchise. We're talking gods, we're talking creatures, we're talking robots, Terminator-type robots. So at this point, she's honed all of her skills. So I think she is a master swordsman at this point. She is a weapons master with any weapon, basically. Swords, guns, whatever you can think of.
So what weapons did she have in Tomb Raider 3 that she's bringing to the battle?
She is often found with two Desert Eagles. Okay, that are 50 caliber bullets, which are quite large.
Those are.
Okay, and the clips on those guys are anywhere from 12 to 15 bullets.
Okay.
Okay, that's what she's commonly found with. She does have some extra things later on in the game, like... you forget she's insanely rich. I think that's the greatest superpower of all.
Batman would agree.
he does. Batman and Iron Man both agree.
So obtaining anything is really easy at this point.
But when we're in the battle, she can't call up Amazon and have a drone deliver something.
I mean, she probably
could.
So this is, I think her biggest weapon at this point... she would probably have a power item or some kind of ancient artifact that she's found.
You gotta get specific.
I'm getting there. I'm trying to recall it. She pulled out some cup in the third game that gave her the ability to have a second life.
Okay.
All right. So what do you do with somebody who has two lives versus one?
Well, I mean, you have to keep in mind that Phoenix had to go after wave after wave after wave of these creatures.
Of those roaches.
What are you talking about, man? Come on. Some of these creatures were pretty hardcore. Some had Gatling guns and sniper rifles, and others were so large you had to take them down with, a helicopter and, things like that. So, I think in this particular case, he's going to have, of course, his Lancer assault rifle, which, in case there is some hand-to-hand combat, has the chainsaw attached to it. Because, why wouldn't you want a chainsaw attached to your gun, I think is the real question. Now, I'm kind of on the fence here, and I kind of want Zach's opinion on this. I'm thinking about having him have the Hammer of Dawn.
Yeah, that's a good weapon.
You know, that's the one, for those who don't know, basically it contacts a satellite, and the satellite from space, like, shoots a giant laser beam down, and it's used to destroy, like, the giant cedars and stuff like that. So it's pretty hardcore. With that said, it's a little bit slow, because you have to, you know, mark the target and then, you know, hold on that mark while the hammer launches the satellite attack. So, you know, that can get a little bit tricky.
Yeah. It's a guaranteed kill. It's a guaranteed win for Marcus.
It is.
If he gets it off.
Yeah.
If he can hit her.
So with that, though, so he's going to have the assault rifle. He's going to have the Hammer of Dawn. And I'm going to also give him a boom shield.
Okay.
Okay. So
this is going to be a close fight, actually. I feel like.
Yeah. Although I'm okay with giving her usual gadgets. She has a lot of proximity grenades.
Oh, okay. Yeah, I guess I didn't think about grenades. We got grenades.
She has a lot of proximity.
There's a lot of grenades.
Sure wish I had some grenades right about now.
Yeah. I think her biggest thing here is going to be that she has how much movement can he do with all of these things? What's his movement look like? He's got this giant rifle. He's got all these things on him.
I mean, he's never seemed to have movement problems in the game.
He doesn't. Like, he doesn't have problems moving around, but he is kind of a big, bulky dude. Like, Lara Croft is nimble, and she's got some
agility
abilities. Yeah, she's got agility.
Thing.
Like, quick movement is on her side.
I mean, that's true. But I also have a machine gun, so just sprays of bullets. It doesn't really matter.
So then that depends on the map, because she has
some self.
She's very exactly. I was gonna say she's very good at covering and hiding and being in the shadows.
So if she was doing a stealth attack, what would the attack be?
She's not gonna get close to him. She already knows that this is probably not the best option.
She's gonna be hanging from a rafter above his head.
She's going to jump ridiculously between two ledges to get to him. I'm just kidding.
But, like, what weapon does
probably
she use?
Probably from the air she's going to attack him.
With what?
Let's say...
That's what I'm trying to get
no,
to.
No, it's okay.
That's a good question.
That's okay. She's going to shoot him from the air. She's going to jump off of a ledge.
Uh-huh.
He's not going to know. His back's going to be turned to her, and she's going to be popping the .50 caliber pistols at him.
Okay. What kind of ledge? Because she's still a human. So.
At his head, which is, you know, woefully uncovered.
She is a marksman.
I've never seen him get hit in the head, so I'm not sure.
She is a marksman. Note that she will not miss, because she is a marksman.
Mm-hmm.
So,
right, that is true.
The ledge is usually 12 feet. She can jump about 12 feet and grab a ledge.
Grab a ledge. She's got a. Does she have a grappling hook in that one? Yeah, she's got a hook shot, doesn't she? Of some sort.
No, she doesn't.
No, I guess not in that one.
Not in that one.
Okay. So basically, this comes down to if she can sneak up on him, she gets a one shot kill to the head.
She gets a
kill. Marksman. Yeah. But if she doesn't, then she's got a couple of pistols against assault rifles.
And she's so nimble and light on her feet, even with like her guns like maybe rattling around a bit, like. Like, when Phoenix, like, just, like, shifts his weight and size, like, his gear and all
you
of
can
his
hear
everything.
Yeah.
Like,
he's not trying to be quiet.
But my point is, he's making so much noise, he's not going to hear some tiny little girl with, you know, two guns on her hips that are maybe, like, rattling around a bit, like...
But he's got motion detectors and stuff.
She has a tracking mechanism as well.
Yeah, but we're not worried about him hiding.
Well, that's what I'm saying. Like, even if she were hiding, she would know where he's at all times.
Right, but my point is that if she's sneaking up on him, you know, he's going to have the intel of basically where she is.
Let me ask you this.
She'd have to already be hidden on the map, and he would have to happen across
her. Is it motion-based? Or is it, like, tracking, like, specific...
It varied a little bit.
Yeah.
It kind of depended on the terrain, like, what was convenient for the story.
The map is very... The map is very crucial on this.
I don't know. Well, no, I don't think the map is all that crucial.
Because Lara's not a bug, and so if his scanner is, like, not motion, but it's set to just, like, pick up a certain type of bug...
No, because it was military stuff, so I think it was, you know, supposed to
heat.
Be motion.
Probably heat.
Motion
center.
Or heat. You know, so if we assume that it's motion, then, you know, she'd have to already be hidden in place that he happens upon.
She's going
to
pull an Arnold, she's going to put mud over her, and that's going to throw off the heat.
Right.
Yeah.
No, but there's something I do want to point out, though. Right. This guy that you're describing who came from prison doesn't sound like a very smart guy, so his intellect's probably pretty low.
Whoa. Do you know why he's in prison?
I mean, I do, but let's tell the fans who haven't played.
So, spoiler alert, and you don't really learn this in the first game, but basically he did time in prison because he ignored orders and went to save his dad and pull him out of the hot zone.
So the most cliche thing you can possibly do.
Look, man, they're trying to take a very...
He could have saved a woman. That would have been more cliche.
Yeah.
I mean, it's his dad, you know?
His dad, that's, yeah.
Who becomes more integral to the story in the later games anyway, but... Basically, the point was that he didn't follow his orders and he went to go save his dad.
Some would call that stupid.
I mean, others would say that it's loyalty. But, I mean, every great action movie, like, the guy's like, to hell with your orders, and he goes, does something really dumb.
That, know, but, and the odds are always stacked against him.
And, it, you know, sometimes it works out and sometimes it doesn't. But the point is, he's so good at what he does that they let him out of prison and give him his own unit because they don't think anybody else can handle it.
He's Stallone from Expendables.
I mean, kind of, but yeah, like young. Right. He's younger, you know, because he's like in his prime in the first game, give or take. So
okay.
So Lara is insanely rich. She's been trained,
but again, that doesn't have anything to do with the fight.
Yes, it does. She's been trained and taught by every single teacher in the world. Okay, she is omnilingual.
Right.
Okay. Every type of teacher she's probably been taught.
But what
by.
Kind of like? She can't just simply be a master of everything.
She is,
that's, like,
my point is that her intellect is very high, and I feel like outsmarting this brute, should we say, might be easy.
But he's a military strategy guy. Like, he's been in war multiple times with military strategy situations to pull out rescue operations and to get into hard-to-get-into
so
locations.
So you mean he
followed
a plan very well?
He makes the plan a lot of the time.
On the fly.
On the fly, yeah. In the hot zone, without all these fancy teachers that she apparently has.
I mean, that is true.
I mean, are you telling me that in Tomb Raider 3, they actually say that she was taught by, like, 3 dozen people? Like, cause,
no, they don't say those particular things, but I imagine when you're rich and your dad's an archaeologist, and he's seen probably things that...
I don't know, Indiana Jones was the same way.
Yeah.
He was no fighting expert.
I mean, he was in his own way. Yeah,
he punched Nazis and he shot a guy with a whip. That's basically like, and I love Indiana Jones,
but is that Indy in his prime? Like, I feel like,
I mean, the first movie, Raiders of the Lost Ark.
Yeah, Indy's in his prime, but we're talking about a more badass version of Indy.
But my point is, though, saying that she's just been taught by everybody on the planet.
Okay, that's not what I was saying. Okay,
so
I was saying that she has been taught.
Does she know specific
renowned professors?
So here's the thing. If she knows specific martial arts, then what are those? Because I kind of need to know what that's going to look like.
It does say that, but I didn't go into detail to know which Hapkido or Taekwondo.
Because those things matter. Because like so I've taken karate and Taekwondo, and they're very different. I would probably be more inclined to fight somebody with karate than Taekwondo. Taekwondo is a little bit slower and a little more about focus and energy than karate is.
I would say she's more Hapkido because she uses weapons and she uses unarmed combat quite often.
Okay.
Too.
So the thing is, though, that the weapons that you gave her are guns.
Yeah.
Which is probably not going to align with her martial arts.
So what do we do? She sneaks up on you.
Well, what I'm saying is that...
Where are you going?
I don't think she's going to get the element of surprise unless you want to say that she's already hidden on the map when he gets there, and he just magically happens upon her on the map. And I feel like that's a big that's a big give.
I mean, that we didn't just clarify how the match begins. Are they face-to-face and then they do their thing, or...
Well,
I mean,
my point is that would be the only situation where she gets to jump on him, whereas... many other situations, it would be a much more even playing.
So what would his first move be?
Well, what's the context?
No, I mean, like, let's say they're face-to-face and
they just dropped into it, like in Predators?
Right.
Well, I mean, so...
That seems better, right?
That's the most fair.
Yeah, okay. That's fair. So if that's the case, then they're just going to randomly happen across each other. So really, at that point, if she doesn't see him first and hide immediately, then he's got a machine gun... Yeah, that's going to tear the place down. Or if he sees her first, he's got the Hammer of Dawn and he's going to blow up half the forest. So it's very specific for her to be able to take him down.
And
he's more versatile.
In theory, like, he could just, I mean, it would take some time, but he could use the Hammer of Dawn repeatedly and just level the playing field so she's got nothing to hide behind.
That's
what's the proximity on the Hammer of Dawn? If If he's 20... within...
Oh, he can be very far away.
Yeah. He can be close, too.
Yeah. Yes. I mean, I think...
What if she stays, remains close to him most of the time? He can't use the Hammer of Dawn.
Yeah, but that's the thing. Like, they'd have to be...
Motion,
but again, like, that's the thing. Like,
but within 30 feet is what you're saying.
So, what I'm saying is the only way for her to win is for her to be very close to him without him knowing it.
Which seems unlikely, given his tracking abilities.
Because if he knows that she's there, then yeah, he's not going to use the Hammer of Dawn, but he does have a machine gun with a chainsaw on it. And she's got a couple of pistols.
Which doesn't require much aim.
Which doesn't require much
aim. But she is a marksman.
She's a marksman, but he also has armor that she doesn't have.
But his face is not covered, and she's a marksman.
But again, she has to get a clean headshot. He has to hit any part of her with a machine gun.
If they dropped immediately, it's easier to pull out a pistol than wield a giant...
But Phoenix has a big target to hit.
He doesn't have to aim. He just has to spray a bunch of bullets.
So let's say he sprays a bunch of bullets. He runs out. Well, how big are those clips?
The clip size, I can't remember the clip size, but he holds 600 bullets.
So let's say I don't think he's going to waste all 600 on her, but let's say he kills her.
Well, if it's a one-on-one battle, why not?
The cup brings her back to life.
Okay.
I forgot about that.
But at that point...
She's got one life.
It brings her back to life where she is, though,
what's
right?
What's her health like?
Right. I mean, it's the same. She's just revitalized.
But so he shot her. She's down, and she's going to wake back up on the ground.
Right.
20 feet from where he's standing with his machine gun.
Where she is, yeah.
So right. Again, like now she can't get the jump because she's literally laying on the ground dead, waking
this
up.
This is so
that.
Hard, right?
It
is,
so yeah. I just
feel like if they dropped immediately, it's faster to pull a pistol out and
But here's the thing. I think it's
true.
From if accuracy counted, you're right. But since accuracy doesn't count, then for him, because like she has to get a
who shot first, Lara or Phoenix?
But here's the difference, though. The difference here is she may be a master marksman, but she's being dropped into unknown territory. You're assuming she's being dropped straight down and has a perfect gymnast landing,
which right? She does. She's actually very her agility is high.
Okay, but you're also assuming that he does too, and he's not going to do some type of roll, and now his head is covered because he's got armor on. Right, like,
but
he's also
his
military.
Fall is not graceful. I imagine you're this big clunky dude.
I mean, military men are trained to jump out of airplanes. Like that's what they do. You know, like these guys do that as their job.
I feel like she would land on her feet. It's likely she would land on her
feet.
But
he doesn't want to land on his feet. He wants to tuck and roll into cover. That's what he wants to do. He doesn't want a gymnast landing. He doesn't care if it's pretty. He cares if it's successful. So she's going to try and do this nice pretty landing and try and get a headshot. He's going to roll into cover and spray a bunch of bullets from behind a rock.
I'm not we can go on forever on this one.
I know.
Match. I'm not happy about it. But
what do you
really,
want to pick?
I mean, I want to pick
I'm going to let him be the mediator.
I want to pick Lara, truth be told, but I just Derek's made some compelling arguments that I can't disagree with. So
her biggest thing is she's an escape artist. She can get out of anything.
Right, but not
but
death.
But he's going to play.
She can get out of death one time.
he's not handcuffing her and putting her in like a tank full
no,
of water.
No,
like,
right, right. My point though is like if she's in a sticky situation, she'd find a way out. It's a critical thinking.
I mean, have you played a Gears of War game? The entire game is a sticky situation.
Yeah. It is, but it's not. Like it's like, whoa, those things are coming from this corner. We should probably...
I don't know.
He spends almost the entire second game underground in tunnels.
I think Phoenix.
So the targets are even easier. You have more choke points, like, in tunnels.
Except it's pitch black and you can't see anything.
That's what his heat-seeking... Or his gadgets are for.
The gun doesn't heat-sink. My point is
so let's say she... None of us has used a grenade, okay? Let's say she drops the grenade, kills you both. Before anything happens, she comes back to life.
So she uses her grenade, but he doesn't use his grenade.
Let's say it's immediately. She just says,
they
fuck it.
Drop grenades.
I mean, I guess it depends how close the grenade was to him. You can survive grenade blasts depending on where they hit you because of the armor. So,
but he'd be severely injured, though, if the
shrapnel. I mean, it might be. I guess it depends how quick she regenerates and stuff. Like, again, like now she's got to commit suicide to win the battle. Like, all right.
If it's an option. Yeah. If it's an option. To beat this guy.
Yeah.
So, but again, that also requires her to be very close to him, right? And that's been my whole point, is that because he has a machine gun, that's going to be difficult for her to do.
And a saw.
Yeah, and a saw.
So, like,
gonna
even if she tries to go in for the hand-to-hand combat, he can saw her down.
Yeah. So, I mean, hand-to-hand combat.
But then she come back.
But what's she going to do with the hand-to-hand combat? She's going to hit his giant armor-covered chest? Like,
well, she's obviously going to aim for his head, and underneath his armpits, they're not covered.
Okay, John.
It's getting heavy.
All right. So I'm willing to let that.
We gotta make some decisions here.
I can lay it down.
Episode on this one fight.
Oh,
I feel better this time around arguing my characters because I'm more prepared. Uh-huh. But I am gonna say, given the machine gun and the saw,
right,
she doesn't have a chance, even with two lives.
Okay. So Phoenix wins this one over Lara Croft. So yeah. Phoenix moves on.
Money is a great power, though. It really is.
In a generic superhero movie, yeah, it's great. Yeah. But once you're in the field, like, you're not going to call up Alfred, you know?
You might.
Not in a
He one, might come scoop up your body.
Fight. If that's the case, we're going back to Star Fox and I get my whole team.
Yeah.
My giant armada.
Nope. Touché. Gordy takes him out.
Touche.
Now, let's go back to the first fight. I'm going to go ahead and throw my vote out for Sonic.
Okay.
I am too.
I think Sonic's going to take that
one.
Yeah,
I mean, Crash had some other abilities. They gave him some super dash and some double jumping and some tornado death spinning, but really I don't think he's got the same agility that that Sonic does. So I'm on Team right. Sonic.
So Sonic moves on, beating Crash Bandicoot. Match number 3 is going to be Spyro versus Sonya. Zach, you're with Spyro. John, you're with Sonya Blade. Let's do this, guys.
Yeah, I'll start out. I don't know much about Sonya, and honestly, it's been a while since I played the Spyro games.
Mm-hmm.
As far as picking a game, you could pick any of them. I feel like his abilities didn't really change much between game to game. Like, the later games, he had some friends, but we're not including friends.
Right.
Skylanders,
son.
Right. I mean,
all of them.
I know. And I feel like, honestly, looking back on it, like, the Spyro games were a lot of fun, and there was some combat involved, but they were always more exploration-based. It was all about, like, mm-hmm. going through levels and, like, finding all the pieces, unlocking all the areas. And, I mean, the dude breathes fire, he's got some double jumps, he's got some gliding abilities. Certain levels, he could straight up fly.
What games? Sorry, I'm like,
right. No, that's the thing. Like, I don't even not the first one, I guess, but the second one. I mean, I think okay. I only played the first two or three.
Yeah,
the second game. It's the second game because I want to say his abilities were a little bit more finely tuned. But yeah, like, I mean, he's great for exploration, but I don't know enough about what Sonya does to know like how. Cause I'm approaching this from a defensive point of view, because I don't know much about Sonya, so
I'm gonna pick Sonya from MK9, particularly Mortal Kombat 9. So Sonya is, this is where Spyro might have the advantage, mm-hmm. and I know I'm arguing against you, but also there are some advantages there. She is she's a up close fighter,
right?
I mean, she's got some abilities. She can do projectiles, but mm-hmm. Which it's a beam. It's very slow in the game, so when she shoots that beam, it comes by at a very slow pace.
Right, right.
But it does do some damage. The question is, what happens when she's on the ground and he's in the air flying around? He's a dragon, and he's breathing fire.
And he does have, like, a headbutt, like, smash
ability. Right, he does that, like, little dashing thing.
Well, yeah, he could dash, but also, like, he could, like, dash and charge her, but if he's flying, he could also drop down on her with a headbutt.
He could. Most of her moves and her abilities are all mm-hmm. based on agility. So,
and I guess the only thing that I had and that was really playing in Spyro's defense, depending on how we want to take this, is when I think of Mortal Kombat games, I think of, like, left to right. Whereas with Spyro, you've got the full 360 degrees. So does Spyro have a full 360 degree range of motion while she's just going back and forth?
No.
No. We're acting as if they're real humans. They're not just stuck in that.
Stuck in the plane of their existence.
I say if he comes in close,
mm-hmm.
she's got him.
Right.
But if he remains in the air and he mm-hmm. hits her from a distance, I don't think she has a chance, honestly.
Right.
Even with that projectile. It's slow. Mm-hmm. He's a fast-moving dragon.
Right.
He's hitting her with fire. He's hitting her with whatever he can from a distance.
And he's able to dodge and move around.
Right.
He's got a bigger range of motion.
How long can he stay in flight? Or is he gliding? Because in the first game, he can only glide.
Here's the deal. It depends. He's usually only gliding unless... there are certain power-ups and there are certain levels where he is flying.
So
it depends on if we want to go with, like,
abilities. If he has the ability to fly in the game,
right.
then he flies when he needs to fly based on the level. Why wouldn't he fly if he needed to fly?
Based on this,
right.
yeah.
That's
my question. This would be a level where he would obviously want that.
He would need it.
Yeah.
If he ever touched, because I mean, if he was gliding, he runs out eventually. And
yes, he does.
She,
like,
would
it's
get him.
A slow. I mean, it's like the hang glider in Zelda.
Right.
It's very much the same thing.
So she does have an ability that gains her temporary flight.
Okay.
It's not.
I didn't know that.
It's not. It's not like a I'm flying, like levitating Superman style. It's like she can jump in the air, do a flip in the air. Okay. So it's pretty. It's pretty much while she's in the air, she can like kind of do like a double tap in the air, midair.
Okay.
So do you think he could? She would be able to land a maneuver on him midair.
I mean, if he was being sloppy and not watching where he was going, but I mean, if he's keeping his distance and, you know, dodging and flying around, then he's not going to mess around. Like, he'll stay at a distance and shoot her down.
So she's trained by special forces. So we're going to get back into this. She's a planning. She's a planner, a strategist.
What is her strategy for being lit on fire?
See, that's
like immolation.
Stop, drop, and roll.
Right?
okay, touche.
She doesn't really have a lot for gadgets. She's got that projectile. There is one thing that she can do. Well, if she ever, like, again, if he ever gets close, she's landing a fatality in his ass. She's doing the split split kick. She's ripping him in half.
If I get close, fatality is the thing that's going to happen.
So it's very hand-to-hand
combat. Spyro's not shit. Like, most of the boss fights.
What kind of range does Spyro have, though?
Like, that's on his breath, right?
Right, but how far is that?
Again, it depends on the boss battle. Like there are others where it's like, oh, like all of a sudden for this boss battle, you've got a sweet range because this guy's like, you know, way off in the distance.
So are we talking 10 feet? 20 feet?
I mean, let's just say 10, 15. Let's say 15 to be safe.
15?
I just think Game of Thrones, like if you're just going, just like flying around and breathing fire, she's in the middle of that. What do you do?
But Spyro's not a badass Game of Thrones dragon either. Spyro is kind of a puny little kid.
I mean, I imagine at some point he has to take a break. He can't just breathe fire indefinitely, right?
Yeah, no, he can't.
So the question would be, who's faster, right? If he's trying to gun her down with his fire breath, can she outrun him?
Spyro's not that fast. Like, unless he's gliding and flying, like, he's... like, unless he's keeping his distance through flight, he's not that quick.
She's fast in combat, but that I'm not sure her abilities on running.
And in gameplay, there were several times where like you were trying to jump to a faraway ledge, or you were trying to make a quick maneuver, and, well, I mean, we're going off the second game, but like in the early games, like the first game, like he felt a little sluggish at times in his movement, like very much like you were piloting a shopping cart with, you know, wheels and work.
When he's dashing, though, he's pretty quick.
When he's dashing, he's pretty quick, but he doesn't have a lot of maneuverability.
Right, you're right.
Which is the downside. Like, he's quick in movement, but very sluggish in control, I would say. And I want to say, I think it was the second, maybe it was the third game, I don't know, but I want to say, like, he was given the ability to kind of, like, tuck and roll. But that was, I mean, it was a minor improvement to just give him some sort of
functionality. So what do you think, Mediator?
Like, you have to call this one.
Yeah. This one's tough.
I mean, this one's a little bit difficult, because I think that, you know, a fire-breathing dragon is really cool.
Yes.
But at the same time, if he can't breathe fire for any reason, then there's no contest.
She's gonna jump in and get the drop.
You know what I mean?
But if he's flying, though.
But then it's not fighting, though. Like, if you can just stay away forever, like, we kind of had this talk about
D.Va eventually gets
bit,
tired,
right?
Yeah.
But eventually, you have to, there's got to be a limit on that.
Yeah, there's got to be a limit.
You know, the two of these people are just living.
I think that's fair. He hits the ground, he touches the ground any second, she's got him.
Right, and I think that's the real problem.
No, I hate to say it, but I think that's fair.
So, yeah, I think it's another one of those situations.
Losing on all fronts today.
That's rough. That's a rough
one. Get him up, Big Daddy.
I know, maybe, yeah.
All right, so we're going to give this one then.
To Sonya.
Sonya moves on. And this brings us to our last match of the day, which is Zach again. Nova, which is me, I get Nova, from StarCraft versus Big Daddy. Now, I am actually picking not Nova from StarCraft. I am picking Nova from Heroes of the Storm because I want to use that specific skill set, and I don't want any arguments about abilities at certain points in storylines and things like that. So
right.
This is what it is. This is what you get.
Right.
Now, Zach, I'm going to need your help a little bit here. Being a person who's never played the BioShock games,
right.
I know what Big Daddies look like. Yeah, that's about it.
Yeah, I'm going to need your help too because I've not actually played Heroes of the Storm. I've played StarCraft, but not Heroes of the Storm. So there's a skill set here, and I think John's going to have to mediate for us. But so Big Daddies, I'm going to go with BioShock 2, mainly because in BioShock 1, they are foreboding villains, but you don't. Their abilities aren't all that fleshed out, and while they are super powerful and tank-like, they can be taken down. In fact, the entire game, like, they're difficult battles, but the entire game is, the premise is taking down Big Daddies, in a sense.
Okay.
to either decide whether you want to harvest or rescue Little Sisters, which is separate to the point. But anyway, so Bioshock 2, you play as a Big Daddy. Your abilities expand throughout the game. Like, you've got a drill, you can rush at people. The drill spins. You've got, and also in Bioshock 2, you have all of the plasmid abilities of Bioshock 1 that you had. So plasmids are, it's an injectable power source that goes straight into your bloodstream and it gives you an ability. And then you've got a whole slew of abilities that you can switch in and out of. Like, there's a fire ability, there's an electric ability, and here's where I think what gives the Big Daddy's the upper hand is there's like a brief mind control ability. Mm. There are sentries and turrets that you can create.
Okay.
So in Bioshock 2, there are some protect missions where you have to hold a certain area for a amount of time. And there are mines. Like, you can drop all kinds of different bombs. The main ones are the trip mines. And so, eventually, I mean, you've got some ability to, like, disable those. Like, I can line in a room and just sit comfortably with these little trip mines. And of course, like, the mobs are going to run in, which they do.
Right.
And they die. But from a combat perspective, you're going to see those and be like, okay, like, I need to get a way around this because otherwise,
yeah,
he's in this room right now.
Well, so, like, let's real quick. You said, like, fire abilities and electric abilities. What do you mean, like, he can, like, shoot those things?
Project those out of his hand, yeah.
What kind of range are we talking?
I mean, at max level, it's a pretty intense range.
Are we talking you know, Darth Sidious, like...
yes, very much.
So, like, 15, 20 feet.
Yeah, 15, 20 feet. I think that's Force Lightning. And other max abilities, these are things not to be reckoned with. I mean, the Lightning ability, as is typical, I think, in a lot of video games, it's not going to hurt you, but it is going to stun you. It's going to... Mm-hmm. You're going to drop some weapons. You're going to not know where you're at for a bit.
Okay.
So what do you got?
So, I think... So, here's the thing with Nova. So, Nova, obviously, is a highly trained... military type.
Someone is in every round.
I know he loves really those. It's really well, but I mean, let's think about it though. A lot of the strong, characters that stand out are that way. You know,
and you gotta have a backstory reason why the character you're playing is a badass.
Why are they a badass? You have to know, right? That was one of the issues, you know, that I had. Like, for example, with the remake of Dread.
Yeah.
Like, I know why he's a badass, but the movie doesn't tell you why he's a badass.
Right. Well, I like that it starts out in his prime, but.
But, like, that's besides the point. In a vacuum, though, like, why is he a badass, right?
What has he seen?
Backstory is important. But anyway, so she is very much a ranged character. She is a sniper. She's got her cool big rifle.
Mm-hmm.
And she has a lot of interesting abilities. She has a combo that I think would really do a ton of freaking damage. And basically that is her pinning shot and the... Depending on the location, either the precision strike or the triple tap. And the reason that it matters is because precision strike comes from the sky, basically. And so if it's indoors somewhere, then I don't think that would really work unless you were in a really crappy building. so the triple strike would be better for that because it's more of like a, you know, face-on kind of attack.
Mm-hmm.
And basically what the pinning shot does is it kind of like holds you and slows you down, right? It's basically designed to slow your abilities, slow your movement, and make you easier to hit.
Right.
And so if you combine that with her holo decoy, she has a hologram that she can bring around, then all she has to do is get the Big Daddy going after the hologram, and then the real Nova hits him with the pinning shot and then a precision strike, and you're toast.
Hmm. So he's a brute, right? He's armored? How much damage can he take?
That would be...
Quite a bit.
His head is... He doesn't have, like, he's obvious weakness, like, point, right?
Right. Here's the deal. If I'm being honest, arguing against the Big Daddy for a second, his one weakness are the little sisters. So, if there's a little sister on the battlefield that he has to protect, that puts him at a weakness because he is...
I wasn't gonna do anything like that.
I wasn't thinking that either.
Because when you start bringing in other characters, all of these fights become very different.
Well, I could throw in Marcus Fenix's dad and shoot his dad. He's immediately going to tears, right?
Well, that might make him mad.
Right. I'm just saying we didn't want to bring that in.
The other thing is, of course, like, if something happens to the little sister, like, then the Big Daddy's gonna be pissed. So yeah.
So I guess the real question is like, how much damage can he really take? Because the precision strike deals a ton of damage.
Right.
It's kind of like almost like a mini Hammer of Dawn.
Okay.
Okay. Or the Hammer of Dawn is like a giant precision strike. I can't remember which came first.
Right.
You know. But
wow.
Yeah. So like, it's pretty hardcore. It does some pretty serious damage. And the real key to all of her abilities, because she's very tech heavy. It's StarCraft. She's very tech heavy. She also has a cloak. Mm-hmm. And so she does a precision strike, even if it doesn't kill him and it just hurts him, she just goes invisible and waits to be able to do it again.
Right.
So unless he has some way to find her while she's invisible, then it's a pretty one-sided fight.
Right. I mean, so what happens, I mean, obviously I'm thinking Rapture, there's a lot of water. This invisibility cloak, like, is he going to be able to see her stepping in the water?
Yeah, if she moves water, he'll be able to see. Like, she doesn't...
Right.
She's not, like, in another plane of existence or anything like that. Like, she still interacts with objects.
Sure.
So, you know, if she goes through, like, you know, brush or water, like, you're going to see...
It's Harry Potter's invisibility cloak.
And so this is...
I mean, kind of.
this is a close-range attack. So she's going to cloak herself and then go for a close-range attack? Or
the thing is that this is where it goes in tandem with the hologram.
Right.
Right? So she makes herself invisible. The hologram's out... egging the Big Daddy on.
Right.
When the Big Daddy takes the bait from her cloak, she then hits him with the pinning strike and then the precision strike.
Right, right. And she doesn't have to be there for the precision strike.
I mean, she has to be within eye shot. You have to have a line of sight.
What's the proximity on that strike?
Yeah.
It's far.
My question is, how far could she get from him?
At least 20 feet. I mean...
So do you think she would be within 20 feet when laying that? I know she would want to be... But how close would she have to be to trick a Big Daddy and lay a hologram?
Well, that's for the the hologram can walk around, like, a long, long ways.
But I worry that he can hear her when she's running away with her cloak.
But she doesn't have to be moving if she's invisible, right? She launches the hologram, and the hologram is what's luring the Big Daddy.
Oh, she can project that?
Yeah.
Oh, that changes the whole story. I thought it was like Holodukes. You gotta lay it and then go walk away.
Yeah, it's... the hologram is really fairly advanced. It's kind of... Yeah, so...
Right...
I guess it boils down to how much damage can your Big Daddy take, and that was totally meant to be dirty.
oh, I felt it. he can take a lot. I mean, the whole premise of the Big Daddy is to be just an unstoppable brute force that is well armored.
That's a good one, man.
And I'm trying to think. If you're cloaked, it doesn't matter. But I mean. I can set up security cameras. There are also... I mean, there is the ability to summon a character from another character from the game, but like it is a plasmid ability where you summon her and she shows up and fucks shit up. But again, the only thing I can think of is that... the Big Daddy in Bioshock 2 has the ability to create a gravitational singularity that pulls in nearby objects.
Mm, good.
So, if you're cloaked with invisibility, he's going to be sitting down there, wherever the fuck, spinning around a little bit, like, moving in all directions with this gravity well.
That's a really good point. I guess the range kind of depends there, but then she could just use her sniper rifle.
Right.
I mean, cause,
even while being sucked in.
Well, no, she would just stay farther away, right? Like,
right.
And we have to decide, too, like, I mean, and again, this maybe goes back to the flying argument. I can barricade myself with a bunch of trap mines or trip mines that you would have to go through to get to me. But, I mean, eventually...
But if he lays that on you, that...
Right.
Well, I mean, in that case, like, you know, the hologram could set some of that stuff off.
Right.
And things like, I mean... You know, if you're going to barricade yourself in a building, then, you know, we might end up just standing around not doing anything and then nobody wins.
Right.
But I think if they engage each other, I think she's able to fight in close quarters and at range,
mm-hmm.
where, you know, the Big Daddy's just much better at close range. And so,
right. But I'm also thinking, like, passive abilities. Like, the Big Daddies have, I mean, you have gene tonics that give you passive abilities, and there are gene tonics for... having an armored shell, and there's like two levels of those that are going to give you an increased ability.
So what type of Big Daddy we're talking about? We've got bouncers, we've got Rosies.
We are going specifically with the Big Daddy you play as in episode 2, which is Subject Delta.
So that would be a bouncer.
I mean, I guess it really depends how many hits he can take and how many, and you know, how close he needs to get to her to lay a hit. Because
right.
if you know, if she, he's got the gravity well, she can snipe him. And
he can also have like 9 first aid kits.
Yeah, I mean, but so, I mean, like, she's got ways to heal too.
Okay,
but,
okay, fair enough. I assumed.
Yeah,
I mean, and turrets. Like, if I'm summoning turrets,
the turret thing is interesting. I mean, if you were able to set those turrets up before, you know, Nova got there,
right?
That could make things very interesting because obviously, you know, depending on what those turrets are based off of, mm-hmm. you know, if they register like heat signatures or something like that, then her being invisible may not matter.
We're going Predator rules, though, so he has no time to do that. We're dropped immediately, both of you guys. So,
I mean, if that's
if you laid it down,
I mean, don't get me wrong, laying down a turret would certainly help you because Nova can't get that close then, right? Because a turret's a turret. She still can't, you know, she's not really armored.
But she could take it out from a distance.
But she could take it out from a distance. I mean, that's true. And I think that's the real key is that no matter what the range is, I think she's going to be able to strike first and more often.
Yes, and unless, I mean, really, if she can avoid getting close, because close combat, it's over.
Right.
You know, there's a drill vampire passive ability where, I mean, if I'm drilling into you, I'm also, like, healing from you at the same time. So, yeah. I mean, yeah, Big Daddies are pretty formidable from a distance. And, I mean, to be fair, in close combat, because to be fair, like, in the game, like, in either of the games, if you're trying to take down another Big Daddy, you need to keep your distance. Like, you need to be setting traps, you need to be running. Like, you want to run away from him until he's in the water and then turn around and electroshoot him, and then you want to freeze him. You want to do all these things. And if you keep him from a distance and they're not able to charge you and close that distance, then you're down. And so, like, with that invisibility cloak...
With the cloak, the sniper, the hologram decoy, like... She's just got all
the cool tech. I think Nova's got it.
Yeah. She's got all the cool tech.
I think Nova's got it.
I think you're right.
All right, so let's recap real quick as we are over time. Looks like in our quarterfinals, we are going to have Mario versus Link from Zelda, Master Chief of Halo against Gordon Freeman of Half-Life.
That's going to be a good one.
Sonic the Hedgehog. Yeah. Sonic the Hedgehog versus Sonya Blade of Mortal Kombat. Phoenix of Gears of War will go off against Nova of StarCraft, which I think that's the most interesting battle. Man.
I feel like she would destroy him. Like, I feel like that's just...
Well, we're going to have to talk about it.
He's human.
We're going to have to talk... She's human-ish.
Figure out.
I mean... so that's going to be in the next episode. Possibly next week will be our quarterfinals. So thank you for listening in. If you have a different opinion, if you think we got this wrong, hit us on Facebook. We're Heroes Podcast Network, at Heroes Podcast everywhere. Hit us up. Tell us what we did wrong, what we should be doing differently for this. And drop us a review on iTunes. When we get to 10 reviews, we're giving away a free game.
Free game,
free
guys.
Game. So go check that out and help get yourself to a point where you might win a free game.
Yep.
Thanks for listening, everybody. We'll catch you next time.
See ya.
12.